you very much. As mentioned, the title of this paper is The Analysis and Interpretation of Sugarcane Cultivar Adaptability to Time of Harvest in South Africa. Just to begin with, the South African or sugarcane production in South Africa extends along the northeastern regions of the country across a wide range of agroclimatic conditions and management practices under both irrigated as well as rain-fed agriculture. The industry is about 420,000 hectares in size. It produces about 19 million tons of sugarcane per annum, from which about 2 million tons of sugar is produced for both export and local consumption. The crop is typically harvested and processed over a 9-month period between April and December, and depending on the agroclimatic conditions, it can reach maturity anytime between 12 to 24 months after planting or attuning. Commercial cultivars are developed for this industry by the South African Sugarcane Research Institute, and these originate from separate selection programs strategically chosen to represent different conditions in the industry. In general, the yield potential conditions as well as the age at harvest, which has a huge effect on variability, is accommodated fairly well within these selection programs. However, a factor that isn't accommodated within the selection programs is the time of harvest. This simply refers to the time of year when the crop is harvested, and this could either be early, mid, or late season. This is just an illustration demonstrating the two extreme harvest times, and as you can see, the early harvests are typically occur after summer conditions, while late harvests occur after winter conditions. Previous research focused on the irrigated northern part of the industry have demonstrated significant cultivar by time of harvest interactions. But since those studies, a whole range of new cultivars have been released for the southern rain-fed regions, and the adaptability of these cultivars to time of harvest is currently unknown. In addition to that, there's uncertainty about the reasons for production differences between early and late harvesting in the industry, including the factors driving those differences, as well as the crop traits that are essentially affected. And it is believed that information on this could help direct future breeding strategies and also inform future physiological studies. And so this study was initiated to address these objectives, with the first objective being to characterize the new cultivars in terms of their adaptability to time of harvest in the rain-fed regions, and secondly, to investigate what were the underlying environmental factors driving the time of harvest variability. To reach these objectives, two field trials were conducted on adjacent fields on an experimental farm on the north coast of the industry. And these trials consisted of the same set of 7 cultivars planted in randomized complete block designs. The first trial was established in November 2000 and harvested annually in the late season for 6 successive ratoons, while the other trial was established in March 2001, also harvested annually, but this time in the early season for the same number of ratoons. And both trials were conducted on the same soil type and with the standard nutrient and weed management. At each harvest, net cane plots were harvested by hand and weighed using a mechanical grab apparatus attached to a load cell to determine cane yield in tons cane per hectare. 12 stalk sucrose samples were taken from each plot at each harvest to determine a range of milling quality characteristics, the most important of which was the estimated recoverable crystal, or ERC, which takes into consideration the amount of sucrose, non-sucrose, and fiber. And then the tons ERC, which is the unit for which growers get remunerated in the industry, was calculated as a product of cane yield and ERC. And then other important crop traits measured at harvest included stalk population, stalk height, and individual stalk weight. Daily weather data from an on-farm weather station was also recorded for each crop cycle, and the average duration of 3 crop growth phases, namely crop establishment, stalk elongation, and ripening, was estimated, and the weather conditions within each of those phases were then summarized as environmental covariates. And the weather data included daily rainfall, solar radiation, thermal time, and a water stress index that ranged from 0 to 1. That water stress index was calculated by running the CaneSim crop growth model under rain-fed as well as irrigated conditions, and then comparing the evapotranspiration of those two runs relative to each other. And then at the end, there was a total of 12 environmental covariates calculated, depending on the specific factor as well as the growth phase within which that factor was summarized. And these are how the covariates were designated. For the statistical analysis, an environment was considered as a trial by Ratoon combination, resulting in a total of 12 environments designated E1 to E6 for the early harvests and L1 to L6 for the late harvests. The G/E interaction was analyzed using EMI, and for each of the relevant variates, EMI2 biplots were produced to visualize the cultivar by time of harvest interactions. To identify the most relevant environmental drivers of the cultivar by time of harvest interaction, a preliminary principal components analysis was conducted on the environment by covariate two-way table. The results of that PCA were then supplemented by correlating the EMI-IPCA scores to the covariates themselves. And then based on those results, a number of biological interpretations were made. To explain the G/E interaction in terms of the effects on yield components, a covariate effect biplot was produced through the singular value decomposition of the trait by environment two-way table of correlation coefficients. And in this case, we just use cane yield and the relevant trait in the relevant environment. Moving on to the results, beginning with the EMI analyses. Firstly, the EMI ANOVA showed that the genotype, environment, and G/E interaction was significant for all three variables. As expected, environment accounted for most of the variation, comprising about 71, 61, and 64% of the total sums of squares. The variation accounted for by genotype was higher than that of the G/E interaction for cane yield and ERC, while these two components had similar contributions to variation in tons ERC. And then also both EMI-IPCA axes were significant for all three variables. The EMI means for cane yield showed that the early environments produced higher cane yields than the later environments across all cultivars, except for N17 there. And there were substantial cultivar rank differences between early and late harvesting. However, the late environments produced higher ERC compared to the early environments across all cultivars. And in this case, any cultivar rank switches were not that substantial. Similarly, the late environments produced higher tons ERC compared to the early environments across all cultivars except for the N35, I think. And then again, the cultivar rank switches were quite substantial. Here you see the N35 switching, and as well as a variety like the N17 there. The ME2 biplots for cane yield, which accounted for 79% of the G/E interaction, revealed two distinct non-overlapping clusters for the early and late environments, indicated by the red and blue points here, with cultivars N17, N19, and N36 showing adaptability to late harvesting, while other cultivars being more adapted to early harvesting. For ERC, again, there were the early and late environments were spread explicitly along the, well, not explicitly, but spread along the first axis, and there was some substantial spread along the second axis as well. The high sucrose cultivars N29, 35, and 36 were more adapted to early harvesting, other cultivars showing adaptability to late harvesting. And then finally, the biplot for tons ERC, which was very similar to the one for cane yield, also revealed separation of the early and late environments, with cultivars N17, 19, and N27 showing adaptability to late harvesting and other cultivars adapted to early harvesting. Moving on to the principal components analysis, the first two principal component axes accounted for, I think, 93% of the total variation and once again revealed separation of the early and late environments on the biplot. Temperatures and radiation during crop establishment were negatively correlated to temperatures and radiation during elongation and ripening. The late environments were characterized by high temperatures and radiation during establishment, while the earlier environments were characterized by high temperature and radiation during elongation and ripening. As expected, the rainfall and water stress index covariates were correlated to each other, but they didn't seem to have much of an effect on the separation of the early and late environments as they were more spread along the second axis only. The correlations between the covariates and the EMI-IPCA scores themselves showed that most of the significant correlations were observed between the covariates and the EMI-IPCA1 axes. In particular, the radiation and temperature covariates were significant, while the rainfall and water stress index covariates were non-significant. Here we see the water stress during ripening being significantly correlated to the EMI-IPCA2 scores, for cane yield and ERC. Now, based on the results of the correlation analyses as well as the separation of the environments on the biplots, a whole range of biological interpretations were made, and these are discussed in detail in the actual paper. But I'll just focus on two such interpretations here. The results showed that the early season cane yields were generally higher than the late season cane yields, and this is because the early harvesting was characterized by higher radiation and temperature during elongation and ripening, which is when sugarcane accumulates most of its dry matter in any case. So in other words, there was better exploitation of those more favorable conditions by the early harvests. Again, for ERC, it was concluded that late season ERC was generally higher than early season ERC because the late environments were characterized by lower radiation and temperature and higher water stress during the elongation and ripening periods. And the opposite was true for the early harvests, where high temperatures and radiation tended to stimulate vegetative growth using upstored sucrose and hence reducing sucrose content. Now, these are just two biological interpretations made directly from the data or from the analysis, and they seem to correspond fairly well with what is generally known about sugarcane growth in the industry. And so it shows that the methodology that was used in the study does have potential for future applications to GBIE data sets for sugarcane, where the aim is to interpret or find out what's the drivers of the GBIE interaction. Finally, the covariate effect biplot. Now, in this biplot, the length of the trait vector is an indication of the magnitude of the effects on cane yield. And it seems as if stock population and stock mass had a greater effect on cane yield than stock length greater than individual stock mass. It also shows that stock population was correlated to most of the early environments, showing that cane yield is influenced to a larger extent by stock population when harvesting early. In contrast, stock mass was more correlated to the later environments, showing that cane yield was influenced to a larger extent by individual stock mass when harvesting late season. And these relationships basically show that there's potential for differential trait selection strategies if selecting for early and late harvesting in the industry. And then finally, just to finish up, the study has shown that there is definite cultivar adaptability to time of harvest in the rain-fed regions of the industry. And this has a direct impact on the design of our coastal selection programs, where currently most of the advanced selection trials are only harvested late in the season. And this justifies probably more investigation or separating that out into early and late harvesting as well. The higher cane yields associated with early harvesting was due to the better exploitation of higher temperatures and radiation during elongation, while the lower yields associated with the late harvesting was due to the lack of such synchronization between crop phenology and environmental potential. And then finally, the use of environmental covariates summarized within individual growth phases to interpret GBIE interactions hasn't really been attempted in sugarcane previously. And so this study has shown that the methodology does have some potential, and future research will apply these methods to more diverse data sets in the industry. And those data sets are currently being set up. That's it. Thank you.
We have time for one or two questions. Is there it? Okay.
Most definitely. Yes, I didn't actually mention due to time constraints, but these trials were really just set up as a look-see for commercial recommendation purposes. And they are not a multi-environment trial per se, because the trials are actually located alongside each other with overlapping climatic conditions and so on. However, even with that, it did show significant GBIE interaction. And I imagine that if we had to extend it to more locations, most definitely we may find different results. And actually, I'm in charge of the variety evaluation program in the Institute at South Africa, and we currently are gathering enough information to try and apply these methods to the bigger data set as well. This was really just a look-see to evaluate whether this methodology does have some merit, and I think it does.